Welcome to Valley Voices, where we bring you conversations covering all things local, from news, politics, and government to culture and community issues that are relevant to Lehigh Valley residents. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, the executive director at WDIY, and I am pleased to be joined on this episode with Tara Zrinsky, the newly elected Northampton County executive. Tara recently served as county controller and also on county council. So congratulations on the inauguration, and you're the first woman to hold this office, right?
Yes,
so
very exciting. Thank you.
That's awesome. Obviously, this is a momentous occasion in your life, I'm sure.
Sure is.
What does it mean to you professionally and personally to be in this role?
I mean, professionally, it's pretty much the height, I guess, of my career right now. But personally, I really feel like this seat is a mechanism to get things done in the community that I couldn't necessarily do as a community organizer or even as a professor. But it really does combine all of my skills to be able to maximize a vision for the community that has like stakeholder buy-in, you know, which is a lot of what community organizing is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely. You can't get anything done if they don't, if they're resisting you the entire way.
Right. But at this, I have a seat at the table.
Right.
And a rather important seat at the table.
Yep. So you've described your governing vision in terms of healing, partnership, and transparency when you were running for office. Can you share what that looks like in practice now that you're in the seat?
Sure can. Well, first, healing. I think there are a lot of wounds in the county in terms of how the employees felt that they were valued. They haven't gotten raises for almost a decade.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't want to say they haven't gotten raises, because they have gotten cost of living wage raises, but they are way behind. Like, our corrections officers are making $42,000 a year. We have supervisors at Children and Youth Services who are making about $46,000 to $52,000 a year. That's very sad, I think. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when you value your employees, you give them a fair compensation. You don't say that we're going to balance the budget on the backs of our employees. And I think taxpayers should know that these are vital services and that we should value them. And therefore, we have to pay people what they're worth.
Right.
So in terms of healing, we have a lot to do in terms of our workforce and also for building trust and transparency. I think one of the key things that I want to do is make sure that there are clear lines of communication between myself, the public, the media, our constituents, and that what we are doing is largely transparent. We have a communications manager who is coming on board soon, so we're hoping to increase our communications. We are on Substack right now, posting things. We're on social media. We're going to expand our social media presence, and we are also going to hopefully host a podcast on Substack. I'm excited about that, because we are literally going to go places.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Is the podcast going to be talking about like things that are happening in the county, or?
Sure is.
Okay.
Maybe one week we'll be on the trail. Maybe another week we'll be at CAT looking at putting a bike together, purchasing a bike. I've already mentioned that. Other times we're going to be interviewing specific employees or directors to show what it is that the county does to almost educate the public on what it is that we do and where your taxpayer dollars are going. And I think that's really important, to show people what they're getting for their tax dollars.
Right. I love that idea. I don't have a clue what the county does. Oh, well, I have a clue, but like, I wouldn't be able to talk about it intelligently.
Right. I think,
you know,
most
they're providing
people
certain services, but how, it's a lot, right?
But that's true. If you don't need that specific service, you have no idea that it exists.
Right.
Until you need the area agency on aging, you don't know that it exists. Mm. You might not even know that Meals on Wheels exists. Mm-hmm. You might not even know that the county actually helps support Meals on Wheels. And until you know that the county offers children and youth services, you might not know what that actually looks like when it's at your front door, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to show people so that they have no fears, they have no trepidation, they have knowledge and they're empowered to use these resources and also to direct people to those resources in our community. Mm. You can help your neighbor by knowing what's going on in the county.
Right. Yep. Yeah, makes a lot of sense and certainly goes towards building trust with elected officials, right?
It does, but it also builds community. Mm. You know, we're not necessarily our brother's keeper, but we should be good neighbors to each other and we should enter into a sense of compassion and caring for other people that I'm not necessarily seeing all the time. Mm. I think because of the larger federal agendas and what's going on in the media, you see so many people who have withdrawn to just looking at their own needs. Now, I'm not saying that people aren't altruistic and like helping other people or even philanthropic. They definitely are. But I think there is an idea that we need more care, more mutual aid, more compassion towards the people in our community. I mean, when you see what's going on at the larger level in Minneapolis, you know, your heart has to go out to them.
Mm-hmm.
That necessarily isn't going on here. But we have to be mindful that anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be vigilant and understand and communicate with our neighbors about their needs in a very compassionate way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So tell us about your immediate priorities and what you're looking forward to tackling this year.
I plan on tackling a lot, but right now I am working with my transition team to put together our 100-day agenda. And I get it. I'm in my fourth week now, and we are still putting this together. We did have the executive summit, and so we had a lot of information to sift through and a lot of great ideas. So what we're doing now is looking at what are the quick wins. Mm. One of those quick wins would be to eliminate the backlog of Meals on Wheels recipients. Some people are on a wait list.
Oh, okay.
We want to remove that backlog by empowering community members to adopt an individual.
Mm.
So federal funding might be cut. We noticed that people really want to help by donating to food banks.
Mm.
This is another way that you can help in a very similar way by providing a senior with meals and also a wellness check. It's really important.
What does that look like to adopt? Do they pay for the food?
Yeah.
Okay.
About, you might subsidize. Like maybe somebody can only afford $20 a week, but the meals actually cost $30 a week.
Mm.
Well, now you're subsidizing $10 a week.
Hmm.
That's not that bad.
Mm-mm.
Now, you could do more or you could do less. You could subsidize one, two, three seniors. Maybe you know a senior who needs that food. And actually, those hot meals and those visits to the recipient are really important.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times, elderly people feel very isolated. Maybe they don't have a car anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are not as mobile anymore. And this might be the only visit they get in a day.
Right.
And that 10 minutes or 15 minutes or even 5 minutes is really important to just make sure that you have a conversation, you mm-hmm. deliver a hot meal. It's one of the most rewarding things, I think, that people can do. And that really is taking care of people. There's a lot of things in the human services that we really want to overhaul. We really want to take a look at Graysdale. We know that there is a lot of work to be done there. There were some things that happened over the past year that we are going to have to mitigate in terms of their presence in the community and people's perception in the community. And we really want to change that. My mother went to Graysdale, and I know that it is a great place.
Mm.
I want to make sure that we update it, that we form partnerships, and that we transfer our staff from agency nursing, which is roughly around 50, a little over 50% of our nursing staff now, to the majority of county employees. Mm. And so that is going to be a little bit of a lift, but we are going to dedicate some resources to that as well. And obviously there's land preservation, parks, recreation. Everybody loves that quality of life. That is going to be part of our ongoing agenda. And also some ideas that I have in sustainability that I'm not going to necessarily mention yet because I have to get all the partners in line. Mm. But I have some really great ideas. And working with my team, we really have developed a 100-day plan and a 1 to 4 year plan that is going to be coming out sometime in February.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the big issue in our community right now. Well, one of them, affordable housing.
Sure.
And services for vulnerable residents. These were key campaign issues for you. What concrete actions or partnerships are you planning to address housing homelessness?
Well, that's one of our 100-day priorities. It's going to be in our 1 to 4 year plan. We are working with developers. We're working with HUD. We're working with Habitat for Humanity and other members of the community to identify land, create land banks, and then also to identify blighted properties and do an inventory so that maybe we could reclaim and remediate any of these blighted properties so that they could be put back onto the housing inventory. We also want to look to the future in building affordable housing that is not necessarily for renters.
Okay.
Home ownership is really important.
Yeah.
So creating a home that somebody could purchase, build equity in, and then sell in the future would be really important.
Yep.
But what does that look like? So we're putting together a framework for that and having multiple discussions with lots of key players in the community on that very subject.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. I mean, the path out of poverty is home ownership, one of them anyway.
Sure. But this is not just a handout, it is a step up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do with our community is empower people to not only help each other, but help themselves and become self-sufficient and independent. What I have noticed is that when people are receiving, what do I want to say, money from the government, you know, SSI or food stamps or things like that, it's not enough to get them over the hurdle.
Right. It's the Band-Aid.
It is definitely a Band-Aid, but it also creates dependency.
Mm.
And so what we really need is a mechanism that will become not a Band-Aid, but a bridge to the next level of self-sufficiency.
Mm.
You know, I counseled people for a while, and one of my clients literally wanted to get off of disability, got a job. Once they got the job, the wage was not enough to sustain them, but their disability benefits went away.
Mm.
That's really tragic.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just an issue that you can solve in one department or with one area of the community. It is systemic. So we have to address this on a more systemic level. So that's going to take a lot more conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's workforce development. That's reentry. That's recovery. That is also housing. That is food supplementing. You know, all of this ties together to lift people out of poverty.
Mm. Let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned sustainability and you're going to have some things coming out. You've emphasized smart growth and environmental preservation while you were campaigning. Talk about how you're going to balance that with development in the county.
Well, I think that it's important to bank land, to conserve land, to make sure that we're using our land in locations intelligently. Mm. You know, we're not going to put a data center or a warehouse next to a residential area so that you have all that truck traffic and congestion. You know, the thing is zoning is controlled by the municipalities. And that is something that we're going to work with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission on in continuing to educate municipalities on how to zone for the future and for smart growth, because that's really what it's going to take. Mm. Now, at the county level, we don't necessarily have to subsidize things that we don't support. Mm. We don't have to give out LERTAs. We don't have to give out any sort of tax abatements for certain kinds of growth. But if we want affordable housing, we might look to figure out how we can partner in different communities with municipalities to try to make that happen.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier that you convened a county executive summit when you first got into office and brought those community leaders together. What insights emerged from that summit that's going to shape county policy this year?
Well, what's really interesting is that prior to the summit, I created a survey and distributed it to participants. Of the 104 participants that were at the summit, 87
wow.
answered the survey.
Really?
Yeah, 87.
Like, that's an unheard of ratio.
It is. And I think that speaks to the level of excitement that people have for such an event and for this administration. People want to get things done. And I want to know what the best way is to do it. What are the mechanisms? What are the resources in the community? What is the county doing well? What is the county not doing well? And how can we do it better? What was attempted in the past but didn't quite work? And what was needed to push that over the edge? What are the things that we can do right now? And from that summit, we've gotten a lot of information and data on resources in the community, helpers in the community, people who want and are committed to partnering with Northampton County. We've already had meetings about a reentry program in our county jail, in our county corrections facility, so that we can make sure that people get trauma-informed treatment along with workforce development and life skills in this curriculum that's actually from the state corrections level. Hmm. And I've hired Jennifer Seyfried, who will be leading trainings and also sessions with corrections officers. This is beyond what we used to do with LEAP, and now we've brought it in-house. And furthermore, we're partnering with Northampton County Community College, and that is in the works right now. We just have to get the MOU together and hash out how that will look, but that's something that's on the horizon.
Awesome. Okay, great. Now, let's talk about how you see your relationship with county council evolving this term.
Well, that's really interesting because I know in the past, county council has had an adversarial relationship at best with the previous administration. I am hoping to not have an adversarial relationship. I have welcomed them to talk with me, and I have also opened up my directors to be able to communicate with them. That is another thing that our communications manager will be able to do is make sure that communication is flowing between the council and administration. I think that relationship will also be repaired because of the transparency that our administration is going to put forward. So while I can't say that individual relationships will be amiable or will be great all the time, there will be times when we disagree, but I'm not the kind of person that if you disagree with me, I'm going to hold it against you. I'm going to have a conversation with you and ask you why you think what you think. What do you have to support your objectives? And how is it that we can figure out a compromise if a compromise is necessary?
Mm. Talking a little bit more about workforce, you mentioned the reentry program, but what are some of the other big workforce challenges today that you're taking a look at?
Well, I think there's always a need for the trades, and that is one thing that we are looking at, and it's the partnership that we're developing with NCC, Northampton Community College, is also focused on providing workforce development specifically in the trades. Mm. And so I think that is very important. I am actually meeting with the workforce board in the immediate future. So we're going to develop probably more strategies for collaboration at that meeting. But for right now, I am definitely open. We've gone to the LVEDC, and we're happy to partner with them to look at what they need and to lead us with data. That's one thing that our administration would like to be, is data-driven. Mm. And we know that there is a lot of data that different organizations gather. One of the things that came out of the summit was that the county needs to be less siloed from these different entities, and there needs to be some cooperation in gathering the data and putting it out in one convenient location. And that sounds a little monumental, but I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that we'll be developing in the future as well.
Okay. Now, talking about balancing smart growth with business and job growth, what are you looking to do in the area of bringing in new businesses?
Well, that is largely the work of the LVEDC.
Right.
But my administration very much values tourism, everything that is around tourism, ecotourism. We love our parks. We love our recreation. We love when people come in, use hotels, and bring in hotel tax dollars. Arts, entertainment, the creative culture, those are big things that I love about, like, Bethlehem and Easton. But we can bring those to the more rural areas and actually create a destination where it's not just Bethlehem and Easton, but it is the entirety of the region, because we have so much to give in terms of entertainment, recreation, and culture.
Yeah.
You know, we're a UNESCO destination.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And we can leverage that to benefit not only Bethlehem, but also the entire region.
Right. And it's the 250th year.
How exciting.
Yeah. And there's lots of things going on in all of the different museums in the area, which is really cool. Anyway, how do you plan to ensure, you mentioned transparency earlier, so how do you plan to ensure transparency and accountability with the government operations, particularly with budget and performance? Because everybody always cares about the money, right? What
they
are you doing with the budget?
They do. Well, one of the things is I'm really looking for a financial director, a finance director that will understand strategic budgeting and high-level accounting. And that is something that I think will help in transparency, because the way that you present the budget around your values and around your goals is much more strategic than just presenting balance sheets or line items. Like, people really want to know where the money is going and why. So in that way, when you present a budget, and we're more than happy to present quarterly budgets at the Finance Committee meeting, we will be presenting where we've been, where we are currently, and the look ahead, so that budgeting won't be a surprise. You'll know exactly where we were in the previous quarter. You'll know where we are now, and you'll know where we hope to go if we get certain intergovernmental transfers or grants or other federal and state dollars. That is important, I think, to understand how the government budgets its money and which pot of money you're drawing from at any given time and which pots are restricted for certain items,
right.
Certain goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. And we're not just shuffling money.
Mm.
that's not how you do it. You
know, wish at least it was that easy.
Yes, I mean anybody who's been on a board understands that budgets are nuanced. You have different funds that are exclusionary or restricted. You have other funds that you can utilize at different points in time, or and you have those that you're looking for reimbursements. Mm. And that's like with Graysdale. They're on like an 18-month wait for some of their reimbursements from Medicaid. Mm. That really puts a glitch in your budget, because imagine in your own household, if you were waiting 18 months for a paycheck, how would you pay your rent? How would you pay for any overhead in your house? So those kind of things are how strategic budgeting works, because you have to know how to fill in the gaps and what you can fill in the gaps with. So this is really important. So I'm looking for that finance director that is going to have those skills and also the ability to present that to our council and to communicate with the public about things like this in a very transparent way.
Okay. So what is one initiative, as we're kind of winding down here, beyond your immediate priorities that you hope will take shape by the end of your first year? Anything that you haven't talked about yet?
I think the immediate priority is valuing our workforce and making sure that we compensate them in a fair way. I know that when it comes to budget time, I'm going to be looking at that. And this is just an example. We are now advertising a supervisor in children and youth, and we're advertising a caseworker 3. Those two positions are separated by $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. In what world is your supervisor making less money than you?
Oh, no.
Wow. Yeah, not in the real world. Yeah. So we need to reevaluate the pay scales. We need to reevaluate the divisions. We need to look at what role the collective bargaining agreements play in the career service pay. And we have to make sure it's equitable for everybody. And I think that is one of my key priorities. And I'm going to look at it in a very holistic way, in a very systemic way, so that we can plan for it in subsequent years. Like, we're not going to be able to, we're not going to be able to raise people's pay $10,000 overnight. That's not possible. But what can we do next year and over the next 4 years to move in that direction?
So it's putting your people first, and
I always put people
first. That's how you get some of these other things done, right? Because you need to
You need people
show the value
power
of the people, right?
Yeah.
Right, right.
We don't have services if we don't have people to provide them.
Yeah.
I mean, the money is really important. It always is. But if you don't have trained and skilled workers providing those services, they're not going to be as valuable.
Right. Yeah.
And we do have skilled and trained people in our workforce. We just need to value them.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our time here. I certainly look forward to seeing how your first year goes.
Me too. And
got a lot to do.
It's quite aspirational.
Well, hey, I have no doubt that you'll get it done. So thank you for joining us. Again, you've been listening to Valley Voices with Tara Zrinsky, our new Northampton County Executive. If you'd like to listen to this again, you can go to wdiy.org or anywhere that you listen to your podcasts. Thank you.